Once I forgot how I found my way home. Well, not just once, but one major time. It's fair to say I lost my way one day. One fall evening last year, I walked out of this very building and was greeted by the most stunning sunset. I got into my SUV, I said goodbye to the geese that share our property with us for most of the year, and I started up the church's driveway. As customary, when I leave a destination, I call Rose and I let her know that I'm on the move. And that's exactly what I did as I started to head up the church's driveway. And she and I began to converse about the beautiful sunset, the children, and dinner ideas. And after we exhausted those topics, we simply were done speaking, so we hung up. But when I hung up the phone, I was astonished to be in my own driveway. Hear me, I'm not kidding. I was in the church's driveway one moment, and then when it seemed like the next moment, I was in my driveway. And I didn't know how I got there. Show hands, has that ever happened to you? Oh, good! I thought I was crazy. Thank you, God. I can only describe that moment of realization as a mixture of astonishment and disbelief at what had just occurred. It's 7.2 miles from this building to my house, which takes about 15 to 18 minutes each way. Now on that journey with twists and turns, traffic lights and stop signs, pedestrians and other motorists, so many potential hazards, and I can't remember any of them. Clearly, I navigated them all effectively, but that day I had no clue how I got home. I lost my way. Now, there's a common term for this phenomenon, and it's called running on autopilot. Running on autopilot means doing things that you usually do with some frequency without having to think about it. Think about this. There was a time when we were not able to walk, right? And now we're able to walk without even thinking about it, much like Keegan is doing right now. There was a time when we were not able to talk, and now we talk without even thinking about it, although some people should probably think about talking before they talk, myself included. But there are things that we do in our daily lives, I heard that, that we don't think about, and we just do. Autopilot is the place where our habits and our routines make our lives easier and less stressed, right? And routines can be good for us, but when routines prevent us from being present with God and present in the important moments of our lives, we find ourselves potentially missing out on some great things that God has to offer you and I today. And just like I lost my way that fall evening on that Easter morning many years ago, the three Marys, Mary the mother of Christ, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene, among other women, found themselves running on autopilot as well. See, they rose up early on Easter morning, like this morning, spices in hand, grief in heart, but still an objective in their minds, and went early to the tomb. But instead of journeying to behold the awesome countenance of the fully resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just like Jesus had foretold to them many times, they instead were looking for the dead and lifeless body of Jesus of Nazareth. The women didn't come to the tomb with the joy and anticipation of the resurrection. They came to perform the basic funeral practices that they had done time and time again for other members of their community when they had died. The woman brought those spices because those are common in the funeral rituals to keep from decomposing. The women were simply going about their lives without thinking to themselves, isn't this the day that Jesus is supposed to be alive again? The truth is that the women simply forgot somewhere in the hustle and bustle of life, somewhere in the pain and trauma of the events of the last 72 hours, somewhere in the whirlwind of life, the women simply forgot. And they forgot not about Jesus, but about the promises Jesus had spoken to them. And for you and I in here, for those of us who do know Christ, we forget at times also the promises, don't we? We forget the promises God has made to us. Like those women, sometimes we're consumed by the hustle and bustle of work or school or health or family or friends. Sometimes we are in too much pain, or we are lost in our grief, or living lives where trauma has us going through the motions of life. And we too forget the promises that Christ has made to us. We forget that God has promised to never leave us. We forget that God's word says that anything is possible for those who believe. We forget that God calls us, you and I, a royal priesthood and a holy nation and inheritors of heaven, even despite our shortcomings. These are the promises of God, life-changing, power-filled promises. But when we're going through life on autopilot, trying to get through the day, trying to focus on what makes us happy instead of what makes us whole, sometimes we forget. But take heart today, family, on this wonderful Easter morning. Even when we forget, God still blesses us. And what God blessed them with is the justification for why Christians can't rebuke the fellowship and the reason why Christians should be in church every Sunday, in my humble opinion. Take it for what you do. Now, the messengers at the tomb, right, allowed the women who were confused, who were unsteady, who were unsure of what to do next, the messengers were sent by God to bring them back on track. The messengers at the tomb, whose clothing looked almost as good as yours does today, was there to remind them of all these promises that they had forgotten, right? The messenger told them that Jesus was not there because Jesus wasn't supposed to be there. One of the messengers says in verses 6 and 7, keys that I want you to remember. Remember, that's the first word. They say, remember how he told you when he was in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. See, when we're going through the motions of life, sometimes we need something or someone to shake us out of our apathy and our complacency and put us right back in the proper frame of mind, to knock some sense into us, to get us to see the error of our ways and ultimately get us back on track. But people usually hate that person, don't they? Right? The person that confronts us, instead of coddles us, the person who offers us a kick in the pants more than a pat on the back. I know people dislike that person. And how do I know that? Because every Sunday I am that person. But the messengers God sends to us to switch us from autopilot is usually the one who bombards us with the tough questions that we have to consider, right? That person, that friend, that parent, who when you're going on this big old diatribe gives you that one question that makes you step back and turns everything around, right? And the messenger did that to the women when they simply asked, why are you looking for the living among the dead? In 2022, that messenger would say, why are you here? Why are you in this place of death, despair, desolation, and destitution? Jesus isn't here. Why are you here? For the women, then for us today, when we look at some of the places we find ourselves, places of strife, a fracture of loneliness, places where we have no business being, the answer for them is the same for us today. Autopilot brought us here. The spaces and the places that we inhabit should be life-giving. They should be spirit-filling. But sometimes those are the places that cause us the most harm. I can't tell you how many classrooms or jobs or homes or churches that instead of blessing me, sucked the life out of me. How many situations I found myself in where I thought it would be fertile, but there was just no life there. But I was conditioned to these places, and I stayed there until it almost became my mental, emotional, and spiritual tomb. Some of you know what this feels like as well. We can't keep routinely finding ourselves in these spaces anymore. We can't go back to the tombs, the proverbial tombs of our lives. We have to find where Jesus is. But thanks be to God that we serve a God who always allows us to pivot. Thanks be to God that we serve a God that will resuscitate our bodies and breathe new life into us so that we can live again. Thanks be to God that we serve a God who loves us enough to redirect us when we lose our way. See, the opposite of running on autopilot is to be present, to be alive in the moment. So for me, being present on that fall evening was not talking to Rose, but actually paying attention to the road. Shocker, right? To be aware of where we need to be aware of where we are, we have to have a handle on our distractions and put our affairs in order. And if this is you, who are present at every moment of the day, praise God, please teach your minister what the secret is. But if you notice, in the first half of the scripture that Andy read for us, the women were blinded by routine and hustle and bustle. But in the second half, they were intentionally waiting on the Lord. After they remembered the promises of God, all they had to do was be still and be present, and Christ would appear. And that's exactly what he does in the upper room. He stays with them. He eats with them. He dwells with them. So instead of going to the places that hurt us, sometimes all we have to do is just wait and believe. Believe that God will surely come and God will offer us just exactly what we need. The word, the direction, the path to get from these tombs, these desolate places, into places of fertility where our lives are abundant and we're free-flowing and we have all that we want and need. Autopilot is easy for us. I know it is. I live half my life on autopilot. I'm working here. The kids are here. I'm answering a text message here. I'm watching the news here. Rose is saying something. I'm just like, hey, yes, dear. I know that. I multitask and we multitask. But today, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, who died and who rose again with all power in his hands for you, a life of spiritual autopilot can be the biggest detriment. What do I mean by that? Spiritual autopilot is when you come to church every Sunday and you're not necessarily expecting God to do anything, but you just come in here out of routine because this is kind of where your car ends up on Sunday. And sometimes that's okay. And sometimes it happens to all of us, the minister included. But to be present means that I am going to wait to see what God has for me. And just like Jesus dies for every individual here, God's plan for each individual here is unique, and it's special, and it's life-giving, and it's spirit-filling, and it's at our disposal if only we wait on the Lord. Jesus rose with all power in his hands for you and for me. So even when we are lost, we can still find our way home. And just like I found myself home that fall cool evening, there have been days when I've been lost in so many other ways. Times when distractions that weren't as lovely as my wonderful wife here made me lose focus and awareness of where I was going. But today, Resurrection Sunday, because of the loving, the sacrificial, the charitable act of Jesus dying on the cross, it shows that if we believe, we will find ourselves home once again. We will go through the traffic stops. We'll go through the twists and the turns of our lives. Some of those roads will be smooth. Some of those roads will be bumpy. But in the end, the final destination is with Jesus. And that's only possible because he rose with all power in his hands. Stay with me, Jimmy. What do I mean? Let me tell you what I mean. Oh my God, Richard's bringing out props. Yes, he is. Yes, he's got props. If you were here last week, these are our bats. If you were here last week, I'm sorry. But last week, on Palm Sunday, I told everyone to take a palm that was symbolic of a struggle that they were currently facing. And I told them to lay it at the altar, knowing that the battles that we're facing were not theirs, but they were the Lord's battle. Now, I've talked to some of you, and I know just this week, some of these battles have already won on your behalf. The battle that I put down here was won on Thursday on my behalf, all because I decided to wait on the Lord. I've spent 30-something years maneuvering and manipulating and trying to get here and there and there and there, fighting this battle and overcoming this and going to the next struggle. And I finally had to learn in my older age that I can't fight anymore. And not only can't I fight anymore, I don't have to fight anymore. In the hood, back in the day, I'm going back to Brooklyn for just 2 minutes. Indulge me. In the neighborhood I grew up with, we fought all the time. There was always somebody angry, somebody wanting to take something of yours. I fought almost every day of my childhood. And the thing is, I don't know how you guys used to do it, but when you would beat somebody up in the hood, You know what they would do? They would say one thing. I'm going to get my brother. And they would go and get their brother. Now, poor Richard didn't have a brother. So I won a lot and I lost a couple too. And I always prayed that I would have a big brother who would fight my battles for me, who would be there whenever I called and win a victory on my behalf. It took me 30 years to realize that I've already had that. I've always had somebody who was ready to fight my battles. And the biggest battle was already fought and won thousands of years before I was even thought of. That's who Jesus is. And that is the resurrection power that you and I celebrate today. So mine is already shriveled up. I already won. Maybe some of you haven't won. And maybe the people who are here, maybe you have a struggle that just came to your mind and your heart. But I guarantee you, if you trust in the resurrection power, the same power that raised a man from the dead with all power, then those battles and those struggles can be overcome. Have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can tell a mountain to be moved. This Easter morning, let's celebrate the fact that resurrection power exists. No more autopilot, but we're living purposeful with intention, asking Jesus to intervene in all the places of our lives, the good places, the dark places, the scary places, the places we don't tell anybody, the places that are so messed up we don't even go to ourselves. All of those battles can be fought. They will be fought, and they will be won if only you have the faith. Let's be present in our spiritual lives today and forevermore. Let's covenant to be intentional about our spiritual lives and see if the Lord does not open the windows of heaven, shower us down with blessings that we don't have room enough to receive, so that the battles, we don't even worry about them. We don't have to spend another day crying or wondering or stressing, because all we have to do is pray. Give it to Jesus, and Jesus will fight our battles. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Resurrection power, Lord, we know is not comprehensible to human thinking. But Lord, you got up. Every person who sits here confesses or will confess that you rose from the dead, that you were dead. But because you have all power, you gave your life up and took it back. Lord, we need resurrection in our lives. We need revelation in our lives. We need your Holy Spirit in our lives. So Lord, as we celebrate you, as we honor you, as we thank you for a gift that we can never repay, teach us, help us, show us, guide us, lead us to a place where our relationship with you is so powerful and so transformative that the battles that we face won't even matter to us. We thank you for your life. We thank you for that resurrection power, Lord. And we ask that you fuel us with that same power so that our lives are good. Those traffic turns and twists and roads, that those crooked paths can be laid straight. Lord, we may lose our way, but we will never forget our way home, because our home is where you are. So be with us, God, this day and forevermore. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.